6 miles from Chicago. We got a full tank of gas. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
You're listening to the Shake and Wake Radio Network, where the truth is all that matters, and the truth will make you free. ShakeandWakeRadio.com.
Alrighty, guys and gals, get ready to shake and wake to the truth with Rick and Annie, live from the Sunshine State.
Deal with it.
You deal with it. This is an All Points Bulletin. Be on the lookout for the couple known as Rick and Annie. And see if you can catch them.
They are armed with the truth. Considered extreme and dangerous.
Shake and wake to the truth with Rick and Annie on the Shake and Wake Radio Network, where the truth is all that matters, and the truth will make you free. For more information on the suspects, visit shakeandwakeradio.com. See if you can catch them. Alrighty, guys and gals.
Hey, let the frog out of the throat.
Yeah. Good morning. Good morning, Annie. How you doing today? I see you got your coffee IV and really good. Did Rick help you with that?
Yes, he did. He's been a big help.
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
And Grandpa.
Hey, I'm still sleeping.
Wake up, Grandpa.
When you get to be my age, you want to sleep as much as you can.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
Sleep. What's that?
We don't
do that too often anymore.
No.
Started doing a radio show 5 days a week, then six or seven, and now we're doing a network. What were we thinking?
I don't know.
Sleep just went screaming out the door.
Yep. Down the street, down the highway. I know.
This is a special edition of Shake and Wake with Rick and Annie on the Shake and Wake Radio Network.
And you want to know why?
A special 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific special with one of our favorite guests that we've had on many times. And here's a little hint before we introduce them.
Olé!
That was a hint. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome one of our favorite correspondents and returning guests, Mr. Ole Damagord. Welcome, Ole.
Thank you so much. You really know how to make one feel welcome.
Oh, we love you, man. It's always great to have you on.
Thank you so much.
Ole reported live from Bilderberg this past year, and that was really cool to have him there. Did you want to mention anything about that?
No, I just wanted to say thank you once again for helping me maybe possibly defuse a false flag massacre that they had been planning there, if what I think was being set up was correct.
Oh, I totally agree. And so did the others that heard your information. It really looked like something was going to happen.
It sure did, and it was thanks to you and other radio hosts that were so quick to get the information out there. When once I discovered what was going on, it was thanks to you that I could spread it out over the globe in just within a few hours and just screw it up for them. And I really believe that we managed to defuse what was going to be an awful, awful thing that was aimed at shutting down the internet as well. So it was a big thing. So I'm really, really grateful for you being there.
Yeah, you know, all the hosts who had you on, because, you know, you went on a few different shows, but even Chip Tatum thought that something was wrong and told you, if you see anything or hear anything, to get out of there fast, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Chip has been involved in several false flag operations himself, and so he was, once I described the whole setup and the whole scenario, he said right away, whoa, 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 this smells a long way. Jim Fetzer as well, Professor Jim Fetzer, who devoted his whole adult life on exposing these things, he agreed. And also a security expert I spoke to who had been in for more than 20 years, he also said, my God, this really, really sounds like you're onto a possible false flag here. So that it was only after getting it confirmed from them that I took the step to go out globally and just expose it before they could pull it off.
Yeah, well, before, for those who don't know what the situation was, could we do like a quick version of what you saw over there and what made you feel uneasy and talking to other people and telling them the lack of security and the state of the building and how some people from InfoWars were able to go up and film in some of the windows that would have never been allowed in the past, you know. In other words, go ahead, throw for those who didn't hear your reports then, for anybody listening, the Bilderberg incident was likely a setup for another false flag, and Ole had been there to, he was expecting to see more of what you've all seen when you watch a video that shows the Bilderbergers getting, you know, the members getting together, all the cars coming in, heavy, heavy, heavy security. It's usually a hotel in the country, really beautiful, ritzy, and it just didn't look right to you and everyone that you told, you know.
It really feels like speaking to Louis Armstrong. I don't know what you've done to your voice, Rick, but no, the thing was that
it's not awake yet.
No,
it's not awake yet. I didn't go to sleep till like 9 o'clock this morning. Rick Rittenour and William Samsel, Bill Samsel, came to visit us. They're here. They've been, it's going on 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I've had two of the co-owners of the network who started it with me visiting, hanging out since last Monday. So, okay. Armstrong.
Louis Armstrong it is.
Well, hello, Dolly. It's been swell, Dolly, it's so I should be saying, well, hello, Ole, it's been swell, Ole, it's so nice to have you here.
No, what happened was,
I see clouds of blue.
God, can you mute this guy's mic?
Go ahead.
I was invited, some listeners who might not know who I am, I devoted like 30 years of my life into doing everything I can to expose false flag operations, assassinations, assassins, and so-called terror acts for about 30 years of my life. And one of the things that I focused on is trying to expose this so-called Bilderberg group that was created in 1954 from a core group of the so-called elite. And the whole idea with the Bilderberg Group was to have a small steering committee that would invite handpicked people from each and every Western country, so that they could control country by just a handful of people in each country. And that would mean that they would invite anyone from, you know, like the global the royal families, politicians, bankers, industrialists, people from security services, you name it, anyone that can really help control a society. If you can control him, then these are the type of people they got in to become members in this Bilderberg Group. So if you look at it, their agenda that has leaked out, and the meetings they've had for the last 60 years since 54 and all the way up until this year, every year they've been meeting in different countries, different locations, and so on, to move around so that the normal people would have absolutely no idea what was going on. And so in my book Coup d'etat in slow motion, the last 200 pages, it's 1100 pages, that consists just of the membership list, the location, the agenda, and so on, what has been going on at these meetings. Because when you compare the agenda with what happened in the world the following year after the meetings, you will see that there are incredible links between what was going on in the meetings and then what happened really. So I would strongly suggest that the Bilderberg Group is part of a global shadow government, and this is why it's so important to expose it. So in sometimes also over the years, they're one of the tools that they use of these false flag operations, where they secretly create a problem, most of the time a bomb, to get a reaction from the public saying, oh my god, something needs to be done. And then they turn towards me, who secretly created the problem, for the solution. And then that would justify the solution that I then would push forward. And so in May, end of May and the beginning of June this year, I was invited to Copenhagen to be one of the key speakers outside the hotel that they were going to meet. And like Rick said, normally these hotels that they choose are in secluded areas, easy to secure, all parameters to check the roads in and out. They normally have helicopters coverage from above. They've got snipers, they've got heavily armed police officers everywhere. The whole area is closed off, and just so that normal people will have absolutely no idea. But over the years, more and more researchers have become aware of this group and has started trying to find out where they're going to meet, the agenda, who are the members, and so on. So when the members, they normally arrive in these black limos with tinted windows. It really is like in a James Bond movie. They come in long rows of these limos. Photographers have been trying to take photos of whoever have been in these cars and so on. So when I was invited to this meeting, or to be part of the group outside the hotel, I was very happy to accept that. And so I flew into Copenhagen from Spain. And as soon as I arrived to the airport, I asked if you could please take me to the hotel. This was the evening before the first members was supposed to arrive. And I went there. I was expecting to see the normal type of thing before this meeting, that police, very clear police presence, you know, bomb sniffing dogs, the whole shebang starting up, because just 12 hours before, that's where all the preparations are going on and so on. And if an attack would be aimed at this group, this is when so-called terrorists would do it. Not that I'm sure there is such a thing as a normal terrorist. But anyway, so I was expecting this heavy police presence and so on. And then when we came to, I think there's an echo on my voice at the moment. But anyway, when we came to the hotel, there was absolutely nothing. There were two Danish police officers by the side of the hotel. Otherwise than that, zero, absolute zero. except for three black limos with tinted windows that were standing right out front of the entrance of the hotel.
So like a decoy, just to make it look good.
It was almost like they had put like a business card saying, yes, we are in here. If you don't know if right. you're at the right hotel, this is the one.
Didn't they do that with Diana a lot? They would put a limo outside. If it was known that Diana was inside a place,
it's standard.
They would have a fancy car drive up to the front to draw the paparazzi, and then they screw out the back door to another car.
Exactly. That's the way to do it. It's normal procedure, standard procedure. When I came there, I got so confused because it was such an odd location. You know, the hotel, if you look from above, it's right by the one of the major water canals going into the harbor in Copenhagen. The hotel is super central, right in the middle of town. So you got the canal, then you got the hotel, then you got one of the major streets going through Copenhagen, two lanes in each direction. Then opposite that, you got a big open area. I think there's been a building that they tore down or something like that. It looks like that. This area is now used as a parking area for the Danish police headquarters. So the hotel, the main street, this big parking area that was fenced in to welcome the truth movement, or to get them in the corral there. And then on the other side of that were the Danish headquarters. Then on the two ends of this parking area, you had big buildings that were insurance companies and banks, most of them. So the whole area was very weird compared to what they normally used. And I thought it was so odd because so hard to secure the water side of the every single house and building on the other side of the water would be a potential threat, you know, people with high power rifle or Stinger missiles or rocket launchers, you name it. And just the entrance right by the main street would do that. Every single vehicle that passed would be a threat as well, you know, hand grenades, bazookas, you name it, machine guns and so on. And then to have the truth movement so close, it was only like 50 meters from the entrance, it was very odd.
Tell them about what you saw in the protester section.
No, so I'm going to get there. So,
okay.
So, so I thought, how odd is this? You know, I know that they, when I was there, they were starting to build like a wall around it, a concrete wall with like a cloth, like 2 meter cloth on top, so that you couldn't see the hotel really. But it was very open right at the entrance, so that when people were going to go in and out, of the vehicles, it would be very easy to take photos of them, observe them, and very bad from security point of view. So I thought, these people, this group, have access to the best security and military advisors, you name it. They've got control of these people. Why on earth would they choose a hotel like this that really sucks when it comes to security? Didn't make any sense. So I started walking around, and just like you said, there was a few people from InfoWars. They were walking all the way up to the hotel itself and filming in through the windows. And two of the other key speakers, we were four in total, there were Luke Radovsky from We Are Change and Dan Dix from Canada. These two people entered the hotel the evening before and were arrested in there because they filmed, and then they refused to delete the filming or something like that. So they were arrested. But just to get into the hotel like that was also very strange, I would say. So I started looking at the area from a different point of view because I thought, this hotel, they've chosen it for a reason, so what would it be perfect for? And that was when it hit me, like, oh my God, it is absolutely perfect for a false flag operation. In an operation where you could demonize the whole truth movement globally in one single blow. And so what I saw, knowing what I know from studying these people for 30 years, so I know how they think and what they need to pull these things off. So what I saw was, here we have an area that is totally controlled by them. The Marriott Hotel, where the meeting was supposed to be, were under their control. The police as well. So you got the police headquarters and the hotel, these two buildings, under their control. I'm not saying the whole Danish police, but I'm saying the key people in the police. This is the standard procedure in all these different countries. And then on the sides, the insurance companies and the banks that we were talking about are also indirectly controlled by people in this elite group through ownership and different. So suddenly I was looking at an area that was totally under their control. So what I saw a possibility was that they had fenced the area in the, on the parking area. It was fenced in so that the only way that you could enter this was through one of the back streets. And this back street was aimed straight at the central station in Copenhagen that was just like 500 meters away or something like that. So the whole truth movement would be very easily controlled, coming with trains or buses or whatever to this central station. And then the police only had to guard them sort of like for a couple of hundred meters and then get them into the corral. So to pull a thing like this off, what they need is drama, you know. So I think they would have been aiming at maybe getting a couple of thousand of the truth seekers in this area, right opposite the hotel. Then they would drive in some doubles into the hotel. So you just like they do with these false flag operations, in some extras, you know, they, some of them might have been put on a mask, you know, looking like Henry Kissinger or Queen Beatrix. It's not difficult nowadays with the makeup thing they can do, because you only got a few seconds to see people enter, it's like, and this could also be the reason why they left the space open so that people could very clearly see people getting in and out of the cars, but on a distance from 50, 100 meters, so not very close and only for a few seconds. I also want to point out that the few limos that arrived to that, because there were only very few, even though there's between 125 and 140 members of the Bilderberg group that normally arrives one or two in each vehicle, and then with bodyguards, sometimes with follow-up cars, very few vehicles, very few. And the people that entered the building that I saw,
you hear that going, that had, not in here, right?
Had the right. Same.
Not hearing anything in the headset.
I'm sorry, the sound is very strange. Hello?
Okay, we got you back. Something happened.
Yeah,
we,
this is...
The NSA was probably having some fun, you know?
It is standard every time I talk about these things, there are technical issues. So, anyway, so...
Yeah.
But there's this strange echo I hear myself and other people. Anyway...
Yeah, we were trying to work on that. I was checking the VACs. Just keep going and I'll straighten it out.
Okay. Some of the people that came the next day to the hotel, I just want to point out that I did not recognize any one of them. And you could see them. I mean, this hotel is made all of glass. You know, the front and the back are with glass windows. So you can see people inside the building. And all of them had name tags around their neck. Exactly like we've seen in Sandy Hook, Boston, the Boston bombing and so on, when they use extras, you know, when the whole thing is set up, all of them had the same thing hanging around their neck. Anyway, so the scenario that I saw was to get the truth movement in front of the hotel, then place a secure, like different TV team or film teams, one down the street with a wide angle so that you could cover both the hotel and the area where the truth movement is in one shot. Also different teams and buildings around so that you have the different angles, plus aerial footage in through these helicopters that were circling. And then you would a lot of explosives inside the hotel that would be more or less empty, but just like in Oklahoma City and other buildings like in Norway and so on, fill the whole place with explosives that would be aimed straight forward towards the truth movement, not on the sides where it would damage the other buildings, but that's straight forward and on top of the truth movement. So then to be able to blame it on the truth movement, I need action, you know, I need drama. So what I would have done is to send in some provocateurs that would stir up the whole situation by starting to throw rocks, screaming, maybe throw some Molotov cocktails or something like that. And if that would not be enough, then I would have a secondary team of provocateurs dressed in Danish police uniforms that would then grab some innocent people that would also be provocateurs but dressed like truthers, and then start pulling them right in front of the fence, down in front of the whole group there of these couple of thousand people. That would just get the whole thing going. Maybe they would start beating him up a bit and so on. So the whole crowd would just go wild. And then while that whole thing was stirred up, then boom, they would let the explosion go, blow the whole front of the building out. And then with secondary explosives and so under the gravel in this area and so on, then pump these horrific images out in media saying, oh my God, here you have this truth movement. They say that they're looking for a peaceful, beautiful world. And what do? They bomb and blow up this innocent, poor little elite group who is just meeting for a nice little chat and a biscuit. And here they are. Because of that, because of this awful event, what we need to do is we need to ban the free internet. We need to shut down major parts of it, because it's on internet that this truth movement exchanges all this very, very dangerous terrorist information. So we need to shut that down. We need to shut down and ban alternative media like the Shake and Wake Radio and many other networks. And we need to ban all rights to meet in open places in big groups or to demonstrate and so on. That is what I saw. Are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. I'm sorry, it's just the sound comes and goes.
Oh, yeah, right.
So when
I fixed the echo.
Excellent, thank you, Rick. No, so yeah. So what I did...
And you want to know what the other little noise in the background was? It's kind of funny.
Okay, tell me.
Annie had her headphones off.
Okay, so they were
around
the ones...
her neck. Around her neck, with it in front of her, and her microphone
well,
2 inches
maybe,
away.
Maybe if you didn't
so,
have...
the last few minutes, I had re-clicked the virtual audio cable connector in Skype, and, you know, and then I found that little thing, and wow, the sound is perfect now.
Excellent.
Maybe
no echo. And no...
I'd like to make a suggestion. Maybe if you didn't have the headphones level so my ears are not bleeding, I'm
oh,
gonna have
I
to
like
take
it
them
loud.
Off.
Sorry.
I don't.
But anyway,
I like it loud.
Once I started seeing what might be going down in Copenhagen, I contacted, just like you said, Chip Tatum, Fetzer, Jim Fetzer, and other security people, and they all agreed that this could very well be a real setup. So what I did was I contacted you, I contacted radio stations in New Zealand, Australia, Canada, the States, and different countries in Europe, just getting you all to record the time and date when I went out with this info. And what I expect or suspected and feared what was being set up. And so you and...
Might have been thwarted. I think you thwarted it. I think by you putting it out there, they weren't able to actually do it.
I tell you, I really think so too. And that is not to boost my own ego, but that is afterwards by getting confirmed by quite a lot of people. I really think that we really were onto something there. But anyway,
if it was just the decoy, right, and they were meeting somewhere else, what would be the reason for that satanic symbol on the ground?
Yeah, this is the
See
thing.
That
in the morning when I arrived there, I was on the air until 4 a.m. or something like that. Then the next morning when I was one of the first down there, and right in the area where the truth movement was supposed to gather, there was a massive big pentagram. There were actually two. One of them made out of train sleepers, like 6 meters in diameter. Massive one. And can you imagine the impact of an image like that? If they had, if you had the hotel explode, you got blown up bodies, you got blood and smoke and all of these things.
Would have been a map.
And in the middle of all of this, a big pentagram,
Yeah, I think they were going to sacrifice some people and pull a false flag. And because things didn't look right and you spoke out worldwide to the USA and other networks that they probably, because they are listening, we can say hello to them, by the way.
Hi there.
Hey, guys, how you doing? You know you're going to hell, right? We're on the side of the creator, not the side of the destroyer. But, you know, there's nothing you can do to people like us or Olay because we win in the end through love and because of the supreme creator and we're not the rebellious ones, you guys are. So we'll pray for you and we'll have, mercy and pity, but God will decide what to do with you in the end.
Well, anyway, I would strongly suggest to your listeners, since many of these things, these false flag operations that they pull off on a weekly basis now, the agenda nowadays is like the weekly scare. They need to get us, keep us scared all the time. And they very often involve drills in this whole thing, that they set up what is said to be a drill, and then the drill goes live halfway. So if you see in your town or city or wherever that they're setting up or preparing for a drill against mass shootings or school shootings or bomb drills or whatever it is, go down there, take your camera with you, your mobile, whatever, start filming them. Make them very aware of that they are being observed while they're doing it. It can also look like a film set that they're setting up. Just go there and film and stream it up on YouTube while you do it if you can, so that by doing so, maybe we can start defuse these things before they even happen, because they have only been able to pull these things off because they've been working in the dark, with us not being aware. So now let's turn it around and be one step ahead of them instead.
Right. That's funny you use the line, working in the dark. In one of the Johnny Cash songs that we play sometimes, you can run on for a long time. He says, working in the dark against your fellow man. You can run on for a long time.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, gonna cut you down. That's a good song. Maybe we'll go to break with that.
Okay.
So what you been up to since the Bilderberg thing? It's been a few months. We started this network with some cool people, Barry Prince and Rick Rittenour and Bill Samsel and Annie and I, and now we're the Shake and Wake Radio Network, and all we got to do is take all the great hosts that we got and get them all the right slots. It's been a blast, and we're on a mission from God.
Mm. So what I've done is I went to Sweden for the first time in about 8 years, and one of the things was that I met with some very, very interesting people. There's one coming over from the States. He used to work at the Pentagon. And also people that are on a high level looking into these assassinations and so on. And we're talking about trying to make some kind of work together to expose these things. So that was very interesting for me. I also offered tours at the site of the assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme, which is an absolute mind-blowing conspiracy. It is unreal. I made a 9-hour interview with Red Eyes Creations about this assassination because it's so multi-layered. So it's each time was like a 5-hour walk when we just walked around and I showed what actually happened instead of the official story that people are being fed, but what the witnesses saw and the whole who was involved and the whole thing, how it went down. And that was very much appreciated. I had people coming all the way from Norway just to take part of this, so that was a beautiful experience. But also lately, I've been looking into more and more about serial killers and the whole thing about these pedophile networking and how it all interacts with what we're talking about, the New World Order, and that. And it's just unreal how
Luciferianism, right? Go ahead.
But it's
that's really what it is, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you can combine all the different groups and call them whatever you want, but what they all have in common is they worship their destroyer god of this world, and that is Lucifer, the fallen one. And they do it with no mercy, no empathy, and bloodshed, sacrifice, the sickest, most abominations that could be done to them is worshipped. They're the opposite of what a normal human being would be, who has love and empathy. And
it's just very scary when you start to see how many in the upper parts of society that are involved in this, you know. And what
right, because right, because we tend to think that it's just the Britney Spears ones and certain actresses or people in music, but as Fritz Springmeier said, he believes there's millions that have been mind controlled since Paperclip, millions across America, and you know who else too? The other guy, Annie, who's the guy from Laurel Canyon that we had on, our
Dave
good
McGowan.
Friend Dave McGowan.
Yeah,
Dave McGowan wrote a book called Programmed to Kill.
That is one amazing book. I have big respect for his research. And this is the thing, when you start seeing that these serial killers,
right,
like Ted Bundy and Henry Lee Lucas and many of these other people, when you start, you know,
Son of Sam,
when you start taking it apart, you will see that these mad killing sprees that we are being told that they have done, many of them are clean executions, like, you know, like contract hits. And very often it seems like they're being blamed on one crazy guy. We're back to the lone nut. But actually that it seems like there's a group of people doing these things. And many of the killings are done with direct hits, you know, contact wounds with a 22. The reason why they use such a small caliber is that with a more powerful weapon, the bullet goes straight through the skull, and the impact or damage that it can do to the brain is not as big as if you use a small caliber, where the bullet can
it rattles around in the skull. It will only go in, it won't come out.
Yeah, but it will also go ricocheting inside the skull.
Yeah,
you know?
So
this is the thing. And when you start seeing how many of these, you know, we're being told that serial killers, they have like like they just go for one type of person, a brunette or a girl looking in that age and similar appearances, and they had these patterns.
Like John Wayne Gacy going after boys that are like, you know, teenagers. Go ahead.
But yeah. I tell you, when you look into many of these major serial killers and so on, their victims varies from children to pensionists, you know, people in their 70s, and it's men, women, children, the whole lot. There's no clear pattern, and the way they kill them, it absolutely not. So it does not make sense at all, the normal picture that we're being fed.
Right.
You know, that the Fed,
right,
the,
like,
where the
Fed, could they,
where the FBI and so on, they say profiling and they track them down. I would say we're looking at a very different picture here. I would think that you disguise a lot of these hits by making killing sprees so that people will not identify the victims and understand why they've been taken out.
Right. You know about the Beltway sniper, right?
No.
Remember the Washington Beltway sniper about 10 years ago?
No.
The guy Lee Malvo and his